live from Latex. It's the Man to Man podcast. If you can hear the sound of my voice right now, then you know this is Looney Tune.
Yo, Rob Lowe in the building.
And this is Man to Man podcast, like I said before. Shout out to everybody that checked out the first episode. It was pretty cool. Pretty decent experience. Right, Rob?
Shit sucked.
It was cool.
I'm joking, though. It was cool. It was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I got some good feedback and some, some constructive criticism. So I'm pleased with it. It was cool. It came out on a Thursday. Thursday is not our day, Rob.
I already know that.
Yeah, I'm making it clear for out there. Thursday is not our day. We're a Tuesday. Right? That's what we're doing?
Tuesday.
Every week, every other week?
I don't know. See what the people want.
Nah, it's on us. What's up? Every week or every other week?
We can go every other week for now.
Okay, that's cool. That worked for me. So, every other Tuesday, because we can always add, make it weekly. We can change it later to make it weekly. We can't really go back behind ourselves and make it from weekly to bi-weekly. So, every Tuesday, every other Tuesday, Man to Man podcast. I don't know. I guess that's pretty much it. That's the announcement. I want to shout out to everybody that checked it out. Anybody that got it on their iTunes, rate it, subscribe it, SoundCloud. If you got it on the Looney Tune app.
Hey, are you somebody fancy for you to have your own app?
Man, I'm just doing what I got to do to survive out here, man. I'm just trying to stand out. You got any announcements, Rob?
Nope.
No?
I ain't got nothing besides the usual block party each and every Friday night. 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on GoDJRadio.net. Oh, wait. I do. I forgot. I got added on to two new radio stations in the Monroe, Tallulah area. Okay. You can listen to those radio stations on the TuneIn app. One of them is KOUS Monroe, and I can't remember the Tallulah one. I'm sorry. I'm very bad business. But just follow me on social media. At Go DJ Rob Lowe, and you will see what radio stations I have been newly added to. Somebody likes my talent. So, which is pretty cool.
Congratulations, brother.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get better.
Yeah, man, congratulations on that, man. Keep that going.
Yeah, I'm trying to break this whole popularity little thing that's going on.
Well, that's what really counts these days.
Just because you're popular still don't mean that you're all that good.
Hey, just because you're good don't mean you're popular.
Of course.
It's a balance. Level spelt backwards is level. Gotta have some balance. That's cool. Shout out to the popular DJs.
I just want people to be smart, that's all.
Shout out to the popular DJs.
The good popular DJs that actually has talent.
Shout out to the popular DJs because building a fan base is a talent. Shout out to Lil Yachty because building a fan base is a talent.
Plies got a fan base, still don't mean he's a great rapper.
Shout out to Plies. Building a fan base is a talent. And being funny is a talent.
True.
And coming up with different metaphors to say eat pussy is a talent. These are all talents. Saying I'm going to eat your pussy in a different way every time is a talent. Because I only know one way to say it.
Yeah, that's because you can't be so disrespectful. Like they say, once you make a girl laugh, you got her. Which I don't see how that works.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. Well, yeah. I struck out doing that.
I know plenty of comedians that don't really get no pussy. I know a couple comedians that don't really get no pussy.
Stop it. Let's get off the subject.
All right.
Let's get off that, please. Let's get off that subject.
Hey. Before any more time pass, RIP Big Black, Christopher Big Black Boinkins from Robin Big, RIP. Is the cause of his death out? Do anyone know yet?
Overweight.
That's what I thought. I was when people were saying Well, I don't know what happened. You know, like, oh, the cause of death isn't out yet. We're waiting on this. I was just thinking maybe he was just fat, bro.
Well, I'm just mean complications. You know how they literally say, you know, health related incidents to you being overweight, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, all that good stuff, you know, kind of leads to it.
Exactly. You know? It could have been anything fat related. Heart, kidney, liver.
Yep.
Could have been anything.
Yeah, because, you know, my daddy, at the time of his death, he was 400 pounds.
Mm.
So, you know, 400 pounds, we, you know, yeah, terrible eating, not being active, all that catches up to you. Your heart cannot push that much blood out. It's not supposed to overwork itself. And that's what happened.
Is that how you get a heart attack? Your heart overworks itself?
Usually leads to a heart attack. Bad blood pressure. All that good stuff. Clogged arteries. But I did not come here to talk about health. This is not my profession. I did not do anything dealing with health-related incidences. But if anybody looking for a personal trainer, please holler at me, Rambo Fitness. Just want to just throw that out there, too. But other than that, I don't do nothing else health-related. I don't talk about health-related incidents. So, let's go to them.
Yeah.
Enough of the small talk. Rest in peace to Big Rob.
Big Black.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, whatever.
All right. I want to get your opinion on L.A. Reid, on this L.A. Reid situation.
Go ahead, explain to the people about L.A. Reid.
All right, so L.A. Reid was released or separated from Epic. Was it Epic Records? Yeah. So L.A. Reid was separated from Epic Records. It later came out that he was under investigation. Is there an investigation?
That I don't know. Well, I just saw that.
He had a thing for a young lady. And it got inappropriate. And to say so, she took a letter to Epic to let them know that it was inappropriate. And he was released. Any old opinions? I mean, we've seen this so many times before with Men of Power in Hollywood.
But is that the first? Is that the first time that this has happened?
Actually, from what I'm hearing on, what's the show?
You talking about that crazy man?
Everyday Struggle. So, from what I'm hearing on Everyday Struggle, hosted by Joe Budden and DJ Academics, Joe Budden went in. You like how I did that? But Joe Budden went in on him, man. He's saying this is not a secret. It's an industry thing. Like, people know this. Like, he's been fired before, released from jobs before, for having this type of thing. Like, he's a habitual... sexual harasser?
He's a fucking rapist. That's all it is, plain and simple.
Wow.
It ain't the first time, literally.
That's Rob.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. But, of course, you know, he's still going to have a job and not go to jail.
Yep.
And it's just going to be a settlement. And that's how that stuff works when you got money.
I wonder if she's coming at him or is she coming at Epic?
Who's gonna take the heat though?
Who's gonna take that?
Epic, very quietly. Oh yeah. Yes. What's gonna happen is it's gonna be a lawsuit. She's gonna win. They both gonna wind up paying her off. Seems that they both
have the amount.
Of course. Like I said, when you're rich, you can do anything that you want.
Oh, I can't wait till somebody rich sexually harass me.
But, you know, when you pull, that don't happen. When you broke, you know, you actually go to jail.
I'm waiting to be sexually harassed so I can file a lawsuit.
What?
That's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on one of these network people. Because you know everybody looking for equal rights. So it's going to be a woman executive. She's going to come at me the wrong way.
Just touch you on your shoulder.
She's going to touch you on my shoulder. And that's it.
That's
she gonna touch. She's going to touch my chest. And that's it. It's over with for her.
She could just touch her dreads.
It's over with. She didn't just touch them. She caressed them. She caressed me, Rob.
traumatized. It ruined your whole relationship with your girl.
Oh my goodness, Rob. It's traumatizing. It's bad. It's bad.
Comfortable coming to work.
I can't walk into that office building the same.
Nope.
I can't walk into that office building the same. I actually need to go. I need to go to a different network.
Mm-hmm.
But not without my severance package.
All in all, on a serious though, like I say, man, it's smoke that's fire. Of course, it's literally this ain't the first time that it happened, nor do it shock me, because most men in position literally use sex as a ploy.
It's not too surprising. It's not at all.
It's just gonna be blatant and honest. It's fucked up than a motherfucker.
It's fucked up than a motherfucker. Not surprising. Not a surprise. L.A. Reid. Do I suspect that from L.A. Reid? Yep. Yeah.
You
I
don't
do.
Know him personally.
I don't know him personally, but that so, I yeah. just seeing him from the outside, I would. He a man, black man, got some power, been rich for a minute, been richer than a motherfucker for a minute.
Right.
So and, it ain't too many women that's telling him no. So once you get to the point where not a lot of people telling you no, everybody telling you yes. You know what I mean? In your head, everybody's saying yes.
Mm-hmm. So, everybody's saying yes. Yeah. You know, that whole no actually means yes bull crap.
Mm-hmm. Cause it gets to the point, and this just, you know, I'm not at that level, so I can't really speak from exact experience, but you know, just coming up in a little mere amounts of pussy that I've been getting. Once you start getting yeses, like them no's are really just like no.
Right. It's also about the way that you was raised, though, and your values and morals.
Yes.
Like, don't get me wrong. Once again, ain't nothing like some vagina on the outside of jail. You know what I'm saying? Because don't get me wrong. One, no, I'm not trying to go to jail. Don't like jail.
Oh, no.
Don't want to be in there again. None of that. So basically, a no is not going to happen. Like, once I hear a no, thank you, okay, cool, whatever, respectful, I was raised. Don't you rape no woman.
Oh.
When a woman says no, no means no.
Do not get me wrong. By no means, do a no mean yes to me. But yeah, sometimes it puzzles you.
Now, a lot of them powerful men, they just, nobody tells them no. Like, no woman tells them no, because you do have your few bad apples that basically, you know, they fuck for a buck, or, you know, they fuck for, you know, whatever, you know, for an advancement in work, or, you know, they gonna fuck, you know, just
promotion.
So you can, yeah, you know, sponsor
and,
a little
and,
couple of
and
bags.
And you know what? That's not fair, Rob. That's not fair, because we don't talk about the ones that get put in situations where they don't want to fuck, but it's like, okay, it's either my career or my pussy.
Well,
no, for real. And honestly and truly, it's either my career or my pussy. Like, which one am I going to give up?
Basically, do you have morals in life?
Not even morals, Rob. Some people get really put in fucked up positions where it's like, hey, I have to decide if I'm going to keep my career or keep my pussy. Because one of them, he's going to take from me.
No, he's not.
Rob, come on. Let's be completely honest. So you never heard of any woman that ever said that they've been put into a compromising position like this. What do they call it? Yeah. Opposition? What's it called? When basically you got to do this shit or you out of here?
I've heard that. But once again, if it's not work-related, then mm-hmm. dude, that is a lawsuit. So basically, with that being said, nowadays you can record everything nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
There's recording devices that, you know, that you can record everywhere nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like I tell my old lady, like, anytime you have a meeting with your boss, or basically, anytime you have a meeting with anybody in your office, it don't even matter what. Anytime you have a meeting with anybody, record the conversation. Because no matter what, when it comes down to stuff, it's going to be your word
against
their word.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what I'm saying is also for future reference for any female that hears this, my advice to y'all is anytime that you having a conversation, especially with a boss like a L.A. Reid, who is very over flirtatious.
Oh,
and
fuck
you know
that.
What I'm saying,
oh,
doing all this extra stuff anytime that y'all have a meeting and all that. Have your phone, have some kind of recording device on you, so that way when he crossed that line and threatened your job, or oh, you know what I'm saying, when he crossed that line, well, you know, like he's supposed to get fired. That's a lawsuit on the company and a lawsuit from him and all this. Make sure that you do that so that way you're not put in a compromising position of, is it my career or, you know, like, is my career on the line or what? Because, like I said, at the end of the day, that's rape. That's, you know, people have morals. They understand it. And, like, that's real foul. You know what I'm saying? That's real foul. That's just real foul. That's a real fucked up situation because me personally, I just really don't agree with that. I really don't respect no man who does that because, you know what I'm saying, basically you – is instead of using the power of I just have morals. So that is like a person coming up to me asking me to do something very foul just for a couple of little bands that they're gonna give me. I don't agree with that. Like, cause at the end of the day, I still have to live with myself after the decision that I made. Like this money and all of this, that's gonna go away. Cause who say they ain't gonna happen again? Cause usually after it happened one time, it's gonna happen again. It's a repeating offense. And then plus you stopping a situation that from another woman, because literally, like with L.A. Reid, Donald Trump, Bill Cosby, it's more than just one person. This ain't just a one-time situation. If they do it once, they're going to do it again. They got away with it. They're going to keep getting away with it. I'm L.A. Reid, man. You know, I'm L.A. Reid.
What's motherfucking L.A. Reid. Nose don't exist.
Think about it. So this ain't the first time that it happened. Mm-mm. How many record labels that he's been at?
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly.
And see the way that Joe Budden like really spoke on it, like he a emotional out of bounds ass nigga. But the way he spoke on this, I don't feel like he lying. I don't feel like he lying.
Once again, it's never what the message says. It's always who delivers the message.
Mm-hmm.
Prime example with the whole Joe and Yachty situation. Joe got a little over passionate because, once again, a lot of people don't even know. Once again, popular. Nobody likes Joe Budden because he's not popular and he hasn't made a hit song since Pump It Up and all this and all that.
Well, I'm not going to say Joe's not popular, but he's not mainstream. Yeah.
He's not mainstream, respected, popular.
He's not that guy.
Yeah, so if Drake or Lil Wayne or anybody else say exactly what Joe Budden said, it would never be a problem.
And also tone is a lot too, cause Joe been in the industry for a minute. He's not no mainstream guy, but he's been in the industry for a minute, so he's seen a lot of contracts and seen a lot of people get fucked over and seen a lot of people do well. So
and prime example from himself, he ruined his whole career just so he could try to get out of his contract. I ain't gonna say ruined his whole career. But, you know what I'm saying, it never really blossomed to what it was because he purposely sat there and ruined his whole career because he wanted to get out of a contract that he was, you know, young and dumb and signed. Yeah. Same thing with Lupe. Lupe purposely just putting out bull crap albums just because he hated his contract.
But you know the difference between that, and we're getting off subject, but the difference between those two situations is Joe was young, Lupe know better. It's not about you, bro. It's not about you. Don't give us no bullshit-ass album, no bullshit mixtape just to get out of your contract, because it's not about you at this point. You've been in the industry way too long.
True, it's about the fans.
It's about you. It's about the people that brought you this far. Lupe been in the game, what, 10?
Before that.
10 years?
Longer than that.
So, come on, give it up to the people that brought you this far, that the reason why you still have a name or you still have a platform or still have a contract, no matter how fucked up the contract is, give it up to the people that allowed you to be able to be in the position that you can put out music. Don't give us that bullshit. I ain't even listen to that shit. I didn't give it my all because I wanted to teach them a lesson. So what lesson did we learn? What did we get out of it? That shit pissed me off. That's the dumbest shit ever.
Well, also another thing that you don't know is a lot of times the record labels pick what tracks that they want to put on the album. So that's another thing that he probably struggled with as well. Not also just the money. It was also that, like, it's a couple of songs that, like, I really did love, that I really did want my fans to hear. But y'all say no. and then come to find out, like, you know what I'm just saying? Think about it. You actually put your all into stuff, and then somebody above you comes and be like, all the stuff that you really like and that you feel like it was your best work, somebody comes behind you and be like, nah, we ain't putting that out there. We ain't putting that out there. We gonna put this out there. And then when the album don't do good, then it's kind of like, oh, you know, it's never the record label fault.
Yeah, it falls on the artist.
Yeah, it's always the artist's fault. If like Wale's first album, Attention Deficit, why it didn't sell numbers. It had major hype, but why it didn't sell numbers? Because the record label did not distribute it enough. They only distribute it in small quantities. But the small quantities that they did put out, they sold them all. But you see what I'm saying? So think about that. It's like, oh, okay, I signed all this stuff, you know, you know, I'm signing my whole little couple of years of my life over to y'all. At this point in my career, where, you know, is a make or break. You know, your first couple of years is, I ain't gonna say it's a make or break, but it's very important.
I feel like any year that you in the game is a make or break.
Nah, because sometimes you ain't even got to put out a album, or you ain't got to come out with nothing for a whole year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that, you still good. But that's my that's my point of it all. Lupe could have put out nothing and would have been okay. But yeah. if that's the case, if it's some label shit, I can sympathize with it. But still, to come out and say, yeah, I didn't put out my best work because the label made me mad, so I wanted to teach them a lesson. They don't learn from that. They don't get anything from that. I'm be completely real with you. They probably haven't recouped off Lupe in some time now. Lupe is not a recoupable artist, in my opinion.
He's
a great artist. And you could probably, you know what I'm saying, you could probably give him a little and recoup, you know what I mean, off of that. If the, you know, advances are small, or if the numbers are small going out, because he's able to pull in, but he's not like no major recoupable artist. I don't even feel like they really mess with him that much on that end of the spectrum, because no one's really, you know what I'm saying? The only people looking for Lupe are Lupe fans. Only people that's checking for Lupe.
Die hard Lupe.
Exactly. Fan. Or even like me, I'm a casual Lupe fan. So even I would have checked it out. But once you release that statement and say, oh, I didn't give it my all because label problems, it's like, fuck you. That's what he's telling anybody that supports him. Hey, fuck y'all. I got some beef over here. Fuck y'all. I'm going to handle this. I got some personal shit I'm going to take care of. Fuck y'all. Talk about it. Talk about it. Make great songs and talk about the problems. If you really want to, you know, show somebody something, make a song about how they...
Well, when you emotionally unstable, it's not going to work like that.
And speaking of emotionally unstable people, we brought up Wale. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Wale. I fuck with Wale. And to kind of go off what you said earlier, labels been fucking over Wale for a minute. Label's been giving Wale half due for a minute. Label's been giving Wale, fans been giving Wale half credit for a minute. I like Wale. Now, since I've been on him, I like Wale. But Wale is standing in the way of his own self. In similar ways to Lupe, Wale is standing in the way of his own self.
No, he's not.
You don't think so?
No, he's not. One thing about it, which I do give him his credit, he make music for him and his fans. He's not going to make stuff. Yes. He's not going to go against the grain, which is, you know, he's not going to go against the grain. That's not him. But he makes music for himself. And for, I ain't going to say for himself. He make music for his fans, which his fans like. So we can just actually sit up here and be honest. Shine is probably one of the top albums that has came out so far this year. Is one of them. I say one of the top. Okay, probably the top. Is as of right now, it's two. It's the second best that came out this year. But of course, he's not going to get his credit because of
him.
You just have people. People are so close-minded to where no matter what somebody puts out, they were never like it. If you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
no
but matter I still what, feel, I still no feel like matter. Wale did that to himself. Like Wale, he like stepped out of line a lot and like fighting with fans at WWE matches and, you know, clapping back at people. Like, just ignore all that shit. Like, he's making WWE, himself.
But you got to understand, though, he's a WWE fan.
I get that. But enjoy that.
He's a big
listen,
WWE,
listen.
He's a big listen. WWE fan. The WWE loves that. So, listen. Really, like, once again, like, yes, now, yes, some of his little tirades, yes, it is bad. But ain't no, you still got Chris Brown supporters. So don't pull this while they did it to himself.
No.
You still got Chris Brown.
No.
Supporters.
Chris Brown should have been gone, too. Chris Brown, all of Chris Brown's label support should have went away too. But you know the difference is Chris Brown is a fucking huge artist. And he's been huge for a minute. Wale haven't had that luxury. Wale haven't had that luxury to be a huge artist before, you know, things started slipping through the cracks. Wale wasn't afforded that luxury. Wale is dope. He's great.
So basically what you're saying is the popular you are, the most shit that they can do and they can get away with.
Look at R. Kelly. R. Kelly raped a little girl.
That's basically what you're saying. So basically,
R. Kelly pissed on a little girl.
So what you're saying is when you're popular, you can do anything that you want to.
Michael Jackson beat sexual charges. Sexual misconduct charges. I'm not sure exactly what the charges were. Michael Jackson beat that.
You proved my point.
Oh, no, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. 1,000%, I'm agreeing with you. Wale wasn't awarded that luxury. He hasn't reached that part of his career yet. He's been getting jerked from the jump.
You want to know why I say you're proving my point once again?
No, but I'm a. But listen to this. Okay, all right. Listen to the final point, because that's all cool. But when you're not awarded that luxury, you know what you do? You stay extra clean.
Oh, so kiss ass.
You don't have to. You can not react. You can turn your phone off.
Not be myself.
Not be yourself. What is seeing somebody on Twitter saying, "Oh, Wale at this WWE match, I ought to go da 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 da," and then all right, well, pull up then. I'm right here. This is my section. How is that you being yourself?
Cardi B sits on Twitter and searches her name. Nobody says nothing when she do it. See my point? You proving me exactly
Wait,
right.
What are you talking about?
Cardi B. You know Cardi B, the stripper turned reality TV girl and all this with the fucked up ass teeth that she got fixed, which I give her credit for, and all this. Cardi B.
Okay, she searched her name.
She searches her name.
Okay.
And gets into it and go at people on Twitter. But once again, when people mentions Wale and he sees something that he don't like, he says something, it's rogue. Let's see, I'm going to actually take the time out of my life. I'm going to search my name and see what people say is about me.
Cardi B dead ass wrong too. Yeah. She dead ass wrong too. And if something, and if, that. And if something, that. I'm saying it. I'm saying it. Listen, Cardi B is dead ass wrong too, because I'm going to tell you this. Let me go ahead and get this out. Cardi B is dead ass wrong too, because if something happened to Cardi B's career that's reflective of her attitude and how she reacts to things, her searching her name and reacting to the negative shit, you know people gonna say negative shit. You know people gonna say good shit and people gonna say negative shit. Is she acknowledging the good shit? Is she just getting into it? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, if something damaging happened to her career, if she started losing fans, if people started looking at her in a different type of way, if people started looking at her in a criticizing way that wasn't reflective of her talent, if people ignored her talent and put her actions first and put what she did first above her talent and it hindered her career, that's her dumbass fault too. You can't blame it on the people every time. It's not always the people. The only thing that you can control is yourself. So if Looney Tune did something to fuck up his career, I'm putting myself in it. If I did something to fuck up my potential career because of what somebody else said or did, because of the way somebody perceived me, because of what somebody else's idea of me. If something happened and I fuck up my potential career, that's my dumbass fault. Now, I can't say that there are situations and there are things that also tie in and we can, and you know, they play a part. They definitely play a part. But at the same time, the only thing that you can control is yourself.
So with that being said, has Wale lost any fans?
I think Wale has distracted some of his fans, some potential fans.
Say that. Because once again,
if you're a fan, you're a fan.
Yeah, if you're a fan of an artist, you're going to be a fan of
Well, artists. I'm not going to say that because you can lose fans. You can lose fans. Don't think that you can't lose fans. You can lose fans. You got to do something pretty bad.
right? Pretty you got, bad. You got to do something pretty. You got to do something real, real, real bad for them to stop.
Yeah.
Legitimately, even like prime example, Lupe. Like you just say, Lupe has been fucking up for years, but yet Lupe come out with something. Us as a us just being a somewhat, you know, us liking Lupe is still gonna draw us to the music that he dropped just to give it a listen. Mm-hmm. So prime example. Jay-Z has been putting out trash-ass albums since, oh, God.
2008.
Hey, Frank Lucas. American Gangsta. Here we go.
Yes, so American Gangsta.
Okay, Jay-Z, ever since the Black Album came out, all of Jay-Z albums have been very subpar and trash, except for American Gangsta.
I was going to say American Gangsta was decent.
It was actually good. It was real great. But Jay-Z fans will even much tell you Magna Carta Holy Grail was fan fucking tastic. You know what I'm saying? Like Kingdom Come was like, you know, was great. And it's just be like, dude, like, can we be honest and say no? Like, it wasn't. Like, if you have, like, that's like Wayne. Wayne fell off harder than
Wayne did not fall off. I won't let nobody say Wayne fell off. Wayne did not fall off.
Okay.
He's just been too consistent.
No, he hasn't. Wayne lately has been very trash. But no matter what, Wayne comes out, you still gonna be like, ooh,
oh, yeah.
You just can't wait to hear Wayne verse still.
Carter Five was hard. I heard it.
But until you actually hear the words that come out of his mouth, then you just like, God damn, Wayne really messed up this song.
Nah, I don't know, man. All the Carters were dope. Actually, I got into this conversation. And this is kind of wrap this up. What do you feel like a classic Wayne album?
A classic
Wayne album. Yeah, I know. Cause the thing is, I lived it so much. I lived and breathed Wayne's music so much that it never like hit me as, oh, this is a classic. You know what I mean?
The Carter One. Yep.
I think the Carter Two. Like I think Carter Three was the biggest commercially successful, and that's an accomplishment. But I think Carter 2 is the best and probably a classic.
It really was for him. The Carter 3 was the reason why it was so impactful was because of that. That's like the summit of his climb to the top.
Because
from what he did from like 04 to the Carter 3, dude, that was just like something. That was something ridiculous.
It was amazing.
It was very much so. But you know, all of them is different because around the time the Carter came out, this is when all that stuff with, you know, Juvie, BG, you know, that's what all the stuff with Cash Money turning and all that going on. And then by the time the Carter 2 came out, you know, you got fresh leaving. So that was like a different change in the direction of completely of Cash Money because Fresh left. So now you have, you know, now you getting beats from other people and all that. Now you know what I'm saying?
I feel like, you know, Carter 2, he started coming into his own.
Yeah, and then the Carter 3 was literally like the summit. And it's like, I have to, like, for me, it's the Carter. But I can see why people say the Carter 2 is a classic.
Would you put Carter 3 in now because of the impact that it had?
Nope, not for me.
Nope. All right, cool.
For me, it literally it goes in order. For me, it's the Carter 1, then the Carter 2, then the Carter 3. Like, I just never really just sat down and was like, man, let's put on the Carter 3. Like, if I literally sit down and put on the Carter 2 first.
The Carter 3 did it for me. I say Carter 3, Carter 2, Carter 2, Carter 3, Carter 1. My personal opinion. Carter 1 was dope. Carter 2 was when he was like, this is me. And Carter 3 is like, I made it.
But you also know it was so, yeah, true. But, you know, it was just like so commercially too. So which was,
yeah, that's what take it away from me too.
And for me, I don't know. I'm just at the point now in my life to where commercial stuff just is a non-factor to me. Like, I understand, you know, he went platinum in a week and all that, which I, you know, give him his credit for, but all that, you know, album sales stuff kind of like goes out the window when you tell people, you know, Chingy went platinum twice. So, you know, none of that really matters. You know, just because you went platinum really don't matter.
You hate popularity. You hate popularity.
I respect it. I respect it to a certain extent, but don't just base, like, for real, just don't base a whole artist's career off of just sales. You get what I'm saying? Cause
but numbers matter.
To a certain, I just say to a certain extent.
Okay.
But, oh yeah, numbers matter. Magna Carta Holy Grail was, sold a million before he must drop the album. And he sold a million, and he barely must touched another million after.
If we're going to be honest about that one,
it sold a million regardless.
It didn't sell that. It didn't sell as much as we thought it did.
Afterward, that's my point.
It didn't sell as much as they wanted us to think that it did. You got to remember, they put it on all the Samsung phones.
I know.
It's a lot of Samsung. So I get what you're saying, but that's why, in that case, the numbers definitely didn't matter because the numbers work. False numbers don't matter.
Once again, I love hitting Jay-Z fans with this. Well, man, you know, it's so hard to sell albums nowadays. The Marshall Mathers 2 went double platinum in 6 months. So you can't, like, come on. You can't give me this.
Somebody who stayed loyal to their fan base.
Literally. Like, you can't give me this whole numbers matter. Then when I hit you with the Marshall Mathers, you know, Eminem sold, like, you know, he went double platinum in 6 months. Then you won't come up with every excuse then. No. If you're going to stand behind what you say, that numbers matter and all this, then okay, fine. Then trust me. There is something, that's the whole thing about this. Mm-hmm. You can throw a little monkey wrench in every debate. That's the whole point in all this.
Yeah. You can play with some numbers, yeah.
Right. You really can. I can throw a monkey wrench. You can't say that, man. That's because Eminem got the white crowd. Drake got the white crowd. So come on, like, we can keep going. I can keep this going.
Yeah,
I can literally keep this going, dude. We can do this all day. All
right, let's just move on. Live from Late Takes, we're back from a little pee break.
I had to pee. Bro. What are we talking about next, man?
This is something that we need to talk about, man. Cause this is something that really irked my soul. I was supposed to cover it last 30 minutes, but we're gonna jump this half of the show off. Funkmaster Flex is wildin'.
Fuck around, I'm here for this shit.
He tripping. Funkmaster Flex is wildin'. I don't want to spend too much time on it.
So you acting like Funkmaster Flex again? If you that emotional, then just don't start crying. Just don't start crying.
Fucking lying. He's lying.
I'm about to say this right here, dude. Real talk, growing.
He shot himself. And he lied. Now, in all seriousness, before you get off what you got to get off, I can agree with Flex on the side of if Tupac lied, Tupac got Biggie killed. That's wrong. If Tupac lied about all of that, which it could be possible, if Tupac lied, then he's wrong. And Funkmaster Flex, now, I watched the entire video. Funkmaster Flex teared up. He got emotional. He was very, very upset.
Pac lied about who shot him.
Pac, okay, this is the story. Pac lied about the altercation. Pac got trapped up in the elevator. He said one of Big's people attacked him. Shot, whatever the case, attacked him. Now, it's coming out now. Funk Flex is saying that Pac shot himself trying to pull his gun out. He's saying Pac had, you know, bad ties in New York. He had a bad relationship in New York with whoever it was. He came to New York with a gun. That's like the first red flag. Is like, you know, you're not good in the city because you gotta have a tool with you. Some people just carry pistols. Some people, you know, some people don't go places that they feel like they don't need to be have a weapon at. Some people stay home if they feel like they need to carry a weapon. Some people don't. They go anyway. Cool. Whatever the reason that he got a gun. He said that he pulled the gun out and shot himself. That's what may have alarmed the people that didn't like him to continue to shoot him. He didn't shoot himself 5 times. He may have shot himself once. Now, if that happened and that caused the whole... Cause I was a baby, son. I was a fucking baby. If I was even alive, I was a baby. So if that happened and that caused this whole thing, then I can understand why Flex is so emotional behind it. But why so long, fam? Now, he say that he spoke about it as it was going on. Again, I was a baby, and I don't think the internet was popping. So everybody probably didn't hear.
First of all, fuck bitch Master Flex. It's been damn near 20 years since this man been fucking dead. been over 20 years since that goddamn shooting at the goddamn quad happened. So why the hell now are you coming out with this goddamn version? Now, don't get me wrong. I have literally heard every single version you could think about dealing with Tupac and every little fight or beef or shooting, anything Tupac was involved in. I have literally read every version, heard every version, researched every version you could think of. I heard every conspiracy theory you can possibly have thrown out of them. It was the first time I have ever heard this. First time I have ever heard this. And I have talked to people. I have talked to people who was living in New York around the time. I talked to some older cats who, you know, they was wanted to be rappers and all that shit around that time. Because it's New York, everybody wanted to be a rapper. But still, though, I talked to some people about that. Anybody never said nothing about Tupac shooting his goddamn self. Then, like I say, then why are you bringing us some shit from 20 years ago? The man is fucking dead and gone. Why are you bringing this shit up now?
Yeah,
why you ain't say nothing when? Why you ain't say nothing when Big Movie came out? When Big Movie came out a couple of years ago, you should have fucking said something. But now when Pop Movie coming,
it wasn't a big movie that they had that little piece in there.
That he shot himself.
That he shot himself and then he ran in. He like ran in the studio and they was like, "Yo, man, I don't know who did that to you."
No,
wasn't that the Big Movie? Who movie was that?
Tupac shooting himself.
No, I'm talking about the whole, like, the quad scene. The quad, that's the name of the studio, right?
Yeah, was the studio they was going to. That was the building.
Yeah, didn't they have a Tupac scene in there where Tupac got shot and Big was like, yo, what's going on? Try to help him?
Big was upstairs recording. Mm-hmm. Pac was on his way to the studio.
Yeah.
With Big.
He was with Big and going to the studio.
Yes. You know, him and Pac, you know, they was
tight.
They ran together with some people. Now, granted, it wasn't the best of people. Pac ran with them. Big ran with them. Of course, Puffy at the time ran with them. Mike Tyson was involved with the ass, too. And also Jay-Z. It was some dope dudes. There and some killers. Same people 50 Cent wind up getting involved with. It's like a web of fucking dudes that was, like, involved. It was like a web of dudes doing, like, you know, who was over big stuff in New York. You know, like, if I see you out somewhere and you got one of these dudes in your entourage, now granted, you may not actually fuck with him personally, but he rolling with you, so which actually means you inadvertently kind of fuck with him. Mm-hmm. That would happen. Biggie was upstairs recording. Pac gets shot. Pac beef with Biggie is, if this is your city and you run shit, how you don't know who shot me? If I'm your boy, like you say, how you don't know who shot me? So that's the reason why Pac, once again, he already know how these dudes operate. Pac is already in his head. If you don't know who did it and you can't find out who did it, but this is supposed to be your city, then clearly you must have had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why all that shit and all that shit bitch ass talking about all this goddamn emotional crying, all this shit on them goddamn drops he be doing on a fucking song. The dude is just fucking, and I'm about to pull a Donald Trump. His fucking career is failing. Is fucking declining. He's struggling. His DJ career is struggling. Like, dude is just like, I'm sorry. Like, he's been a fucking laughing stock for some years. And that Tupac incident just was the icing on the cake for me.
Tupac incident was the icing on the cake. Simply put,
the dude is a fucking joke.
He's
a fucking joke. He's a joke now.
Come on, Rob.
He's a joke now.
Come on, he's a legend. He's a legend in the game. Let's please just show him a little bit.
He ain't a legend in the game. He's just a joke.
He's not a legend in the so. Funk Master Flex is not a New York radio legend. A New York DJ legend. He's not?
Radio.
He's not a legend in the game?
Radio.
Okay, but in his career, he's not a legend in the game?
Why? Because right, he lasted?
Not even because he lasted. Because he influenced the culture. He pushed the culture forward. He was great. Now, he is a salty kind of guy. He is pretty...
Bitch mate.
Bitter. He doesn't seem very happy. These are things that I can say, but I'm not gonna take away from him being a legend in the game. Now, what I will say, is that Flex is old. So He just doing old nigga shit. Flex may look young, act young, talk young. But I thought, Flex old. But he doing old nigga shit.
But I thought old niggas was the realest, because, you know, that's the way that they always was. You know, who said, they was always
who
real.
Said that?
That's what they always say.
Who said old niggas real? Old niggas not. Being old don't make you real. Being old make you old.
Not this generation.
Being old don't make you listen. Being
this
old,
generation
okay,
is let, weak.
Attention, generation. Attention, generation. Like being old don't make you an OG. It just make you old. It don't make you real. It just make you old. You just the older nigga.
That's because if you was, he's not real.
I'm not gonna say that because I don't know him like that. But what I am gonna say, he an old nigga. He doing some old nigga shit. He in a young nigga position doing some old nigga shit. He lashing out like an old nigga. He's getting upset like an old nigga. He's trying to cope with being old by trying to get young niggas around him. He's an old nigga. So he's going to say, do, and think old nigga shit.
I know old niggas who don't act like that.
So yeah, I know young niggas. I know young niggas that don't act like that. But
I know young niggas who do the type of stuff that he do. It's just bitch nigga shit. Okay. It's just really what
is,
it
is. This is the thing, though. Being a bitch, it ain't no age to it. It ain't no age to, you turned 40, so you stepped out of the bitch phase. No, if you was a bitch when you was young, you're probably going to be a bitch when you old. If you a hoe-ass nigga when you young, you're probably going to be a old-ass hoe-ass nigga.
Right.
So, like, the age thing doesn't, you know, that, it's no age to being a bitch. It's no age to being salty. It's no age to being crabby. Now, like I said before, you being old don't make you an OG. It just make you an old nigga. You just the older nigga around a bunch of young niggas.
Right. But, I agree.
I mean, shucks.
110%, but it's just like some stuff, though, is just some stuff that he do is just like really unnecessary. His DJing style is it's very laughable because of you say that he's a legend and he's been around so long, mm-hmm. and then you hear him DJ, you hear him do all this stuff that he's doing now, it's just like, dude, what the fuck? You're not, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you're not, it seems like you declining more than, you know what I'm saying? You declining. It's not you being a legend. Like, we are, like, you don't lose DJing skills. Like, you don't lose that.
All right, check this out, because we had the same conversation about Drake. Do you feel like Flex is declining? Or do you feel like Flex is just not improving? Because this is the thing.
He's declining. Technology. I'm going to say that. He's declining. Pay attention to DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to the way that, like, he adapted to this new age DJ and stuff.
But that's what I mean. He adapted, so he upgraded and he evolved. Flex is probably just not evolving. Like I said, he's just an old nigga.
He's just declining. Well, yeah, you can say he old because, no, I just mean, like,
I'm saying, like, he's not necessarily going down. He's just staying the same. I guess that makes his fan base go down. That makes his popularity and his skill set look like it's going down. But do you feel like he's really going down? Do you feel like he's, like, just not getting better?
For me, I'd say he's going down. Because, mm-hmm. like I say, I'm thinking about it from the whole DJing aspect of the whole situation. And, like, I'm, like, you just... I don't know, you just hear it and it just be like, dude, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you know, you a legend. Like, if I hear Captain Charles, or like, if I hear Jazzy Jeff, or if I hear Kid Capri, like, if I hear some of these legendary DJs actually, like, when I hear them DJ either on the radio or live, like, dude, it is so, you know what I'm saying? Like you feel like you back in the, like, you back, like, in the 80s with Jazzy Jeff, in the 90s with Kid Capri. Like, that's what you feel like.
Yeah.
Like, when you listen to Flex on the radio.
I seen Kid Capri.
Kid Capri spin. I seen it.
Right.
He dope.
Yeah, it's just like, then when you listen to Flex, and you just be like, drop, fire drop, bomb drop, bomb drop, bomb drop, bomb drop, bomb drop, bomb drop. And, you know what I'm saying? And then he get on there, and then, like I say, like, I already, you know, everybody got an opinion. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can talk about whatever situation, all that kind of stuff, which I agree with. But, dog, you speaking about some stuff that happened 20 years ago that now you just not want to get off your chest. Like, dude, I've also heard about some whole shit that you did in the 90s with Jay-Z and Dipset with Cam'ron. I heard about some real whole shit that he did. But, you know, nobody talks about that no more because they be like, that's old news, that's water. Like, that's over with.
What do you do?
Like, whole shit with playing people music and all that, which he has a history of doing in the city of New York.
Radio like, DJ so, shit.
Yeah, so really, once again, like, we could talk about that. Like, they could still talk about that, but what's the whole point? Nobody don't talk about that shit no more because it's old.
It's old. It's old news. It's old news. Like, and it's probably fake news.
We don't know.
It's just, man, it's just
so timely. He shot himself, but ain't no medical records say that he shot himself. No police report said he shot himself.
It's just,
but this
is the thing of it all. We don't care if he did or if he didn't. We don't care. We don't care. Like, Tupac is gone. Biggie's gone. Like, we're not going to get him back. We don't care.
And you're a 50-year-old man crying. Like, come on, bro. Like, you come on, bro. You're a 50-year-old man crying.
I heard this song. I heard this from Charlamagne on his podcast. He just sound like an old war veteran having PTSD. He just sound like an old nigga going through some old nigga shit. Like,
that's what I'm saying. No, you had years. You had months. You had all this time to say something. But you wait till this fucking movie about to come out next month. Now all of a sudden, now you
think that's why he did it?
Why are you speaking on it now, though? No, that's all I'm saying.
PTSD, man. Soon as niggas start talking about Tupac, you just get to having flashbacks. You lie!
Man, we been
You lie!
Tupac come up like every couple of months whenever it's a rap debate. So regardless,
he probably do it every time. He probably couldn't wait to get this off his chest. He probably thought
He probably thought he shook the internet.
Man, oh, this gonna
fuck.
Hey, what's gonna fuck up the city? What is about to fuck up some nigga Hayes right here?
Hey, then when you say it, everybody just be like. Before he logged on to Instagram Live, he treated this whole situation like a nigga with some brand new J's. Like, oh yeah, this gonna fuck him up right here.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Oh hell yeah, bro. I'm about to hit him with this. I'm gonna hit him with that.
This gonna fuck him up.
Oh hell yeah. Like you telling a tell all book, like you Superhead or some shit. Like, damn, I didn't know that. Nigga, nobody don't. Hey, come on, bro.
Moral of the story. Cause we don't need to stay on this too long. Moral of the story. I'm not gonna say that. We can still use him for consulting jobs and things like that, and like, you know, put him in a back office somewhere. He's important to the culture.
I don't want his ass nowhere around.
I wouldn't mind it if I was at a radio station and they said, "Hey, Flex is gonna be your I don't know whatever behind the scenes person is. Like, he's gonna be the person that's like behind your show or like that's, you know, he's your mentor. I'll take it." He could probably tell some good stories. He probably, you know, give some good advice. If anything, I can look at him and see what not to do, if nothing else. I mean, at the very bottom line, if nothing else, I could look at him and see what not to do. But I feel like he could help me out a lot. I feel like there's a lot of things that Flex, not even just me personally, there's a lot of things that Flex could provide the culture. So I don't want to take that away from him. But moral of the story, we don't care. We do not care. We are 24, 25, 26, and younger. We don't care.
Tupac
was gone before I even gave a fuck about anything. You doing anything this week?
Now we can talk about Mother's Day.
Yeah, let's talk about Mother's Day. How was your Mother's Day from a father's perspective?
It was great, you know, got to sit back and, you know, watch the mother of my kids, my wife, enjoy her day, you know, get to walk around and, you know, walk around with her chest out, you know, beat on her chest like it's a drum and all that. You know, it was great, you know, to cater to see all the good mamas get their praise and all the, you know, it was good just to see women get their praise, you know. I'm just happy that, you know, everything was copacetic. Ain't nobody really say nothing crazy or do nothing crazy. Just for some showmanship between, you know, how it always is with social media and Mother's Day and Father's Day. You know, it was good not to see that. You know, but other than that, man, it was real good. See the joy in my kids' eyes when they look at their mama on Mother's Day and say happy Mother's Day.
Did they give her any crappy gifts? Kids give terrible gifts. Like, if I
well,
look
yeah, he, yeah, he did it. Yeah, he made something for her.
Was it decent or was it like kind of like
at home?
Oh, he made it at home.
I mean, at school.
Oh, at school. Was it decent or was it kind of like, now, Landon, you could have put your foot in this.
You could have fucked it up, but you.
Well, he is a six. He's a 5 year old, so it's not like he can do that much.
Oh, he's five?
Yeah.
I thought he was older than that.
But yeah, it was a little creative, little Mother's Day little thing. So it was real good.
Handmade gifts are dope. If like actually effort put in them, handmade gifts are dope.
I agree. I rather gifts for me personally. I just rather stuff that's most sentimental than like, you know, than a money gift. I just rather something that means more to me than a money gift.
Some thought go into it.
Yeah, like don't give me no shirt or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't go out and buy me no polo shirt.
I hate clothes as gifts. And I don't give clothes as gifts either. Because clothes fade and they like get small and they like tear up and shit like that. And it's just like, all right, thank you for this shirt that I wore one time and then washed and now it's like a fucking rag for my car.
Yeah, because she had to realize that also about me. I don't do that. I don't buy that. So I always do stuff that means more. And so, like, I got her some magnolias, and she was just like, oh, my gosh, like, where you got this from? I said, why do it matter? Like, why I got the flowers from matters? You say thank you. You love your flowers. First question out of your mouth is, where you got them from? What? I got them from an old lady. That's where I got them from.
Right, you stole these flowers.
Like, come on, bro. Like, I'm.
Where you get these flowers from? You stole these flowers? These flowers like, don't even grow this time of year.
Like, I am very creative when it comes to gifts.
We had a real light Mother's Day over here. I just, I was on the road all weekend and I made it back, like, did like the breakfast in bed thing.
That is so sweet.
Breakfast in bed, we kind of chilled, watched whatever she wanted to watch on Netflix. Laid in bed. I fought sleep the whole time. I did pretty okay. Fighting sleep the entire time. And got up. We didn't really do too much. Just kind of chilled. It was like a real chill day.
That's good.
Yeah. I cooked dinner later that day.
That's what's up, Chef Bar Tune.
You know? Did my thug thizzle. But I want to tell you about a lesson that I learned this weekend.
Okay.
While I was out. So I went to Louisiana this weekend. Went to go visit my PWI, my oppressor. But I went to go visit my college that I went to, Southeastern. And then I went to New Orleans to go interview Sissy Nobin.
Who?
Sissy Nobin.
Oh.
Yeah, so I went to go interview Sissy Nobin. It was cool. He a real cool dude.
He was actually able to understand the words that was coming out of his mouth?
I was able to understand him. He was very, very cool. Had some pretty cool stories, and he called himself the Eminem of bounce music, which I can agree with.
That's a first.
Exactly, but that's something I can absolutely agree with. He's kind of the Eminem.
Well, that's because I never heard him actually say that before, so that's why.
Well, he said it during the interview.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
That's exactly.
Yeah, by the time this comes out, it may not be out yet, but do look for it on the Looney Tune app or on my social medias at Ratchet Tune. It'll be up soon, but he was a real cool dude. I was able to really talk to him, and like a lot of people were telling me, like coming up to the interview, like, yo, don't. You know, I know how you are. Don't say anything about his sexuality. Don't ask him about his sexuality. It's rude. It's not polite. Blah, blah, this and that. Just like, and I'm just like, why not? Why the fuck not? Like, why not? So, coming into the interview, the first thing that I say is like, okay, I just want to clear the air. Everybody told me, don't say anything about your sexuality. It's rude, blah, blah, this and that. And he's like, nah, it's cool. Let's talk about it. So we was able to talk about that. And just listening to the advice, I probably would have missed a lot of great, just like moments, a lot of great content, a lot of great answers, a lot of great questions. It was good. It was really
good. Yeah.
That's just a lesson I learned. Just follow your gut. Just don't listen to other people. Follow your gut.
And don't worry about the rest of them.
Yeah. Because you never know what you can miss out on by listening to someone else.
Of course.
Yeah. But it was a really good interview. Probably one of my best so far to date.
That was good.
Yeah. All right, you want to do some man to man? You want to do some letters? Well, a letter.
We'll do one.
All right. If you want to send us a, so if you want to send us a letter, ask some advice, ask question, anything like that, just want to tell us a story, you can feel free, jump in the email, man2manpodcast, MAN2MANpodcast@gmail.com, and that's how you can get at us.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. So, man to man, what advice would you give to a person who wants to get somewhere, like a goal they want to achieve, but they're afraid to get out of their comfort zone to go get it because they are afraid of risk? All right. So we kind of talked about this before, Rob. We kind of discussed this before.
Our show is sticking to my face right about now.
This is a conversation that we had before.
Sure wish somebody could see. I sure wish they could see my face right now. Because my face would pretty much say the answer for itself. So,
just give them some advice.
I'm not going to be like other people. Oh, man. Really, you can't reach a goal if you ain't ready to take a risk.
Yep.
Like, to get to the goal, you have to change your mindset. You can't have the same mindset of being afraid if you want to reach a goal in your life. Like, you know, basically you're just going to be stagnant. Like, you can't advance in life without taking some risk. Is you have to take risks for you to advance. It's just how it goes. It's just really how it goes. I got a client who's afraid of throwing up. Like, he was afraid of working out with me because of he just knew that I was so much in fit and all this. Like, I, you know, people are afraid to work out with a trainer because of they don't want their muscles to hurt or, you know, they, you know, whatever other little scary reasons that they have. Until I sit down and I talk to him, I say weight loss is not going to happen unless you change your mind. So once again, you have to change your mind. You can't reach no goal in life if you don't. I would not have started my two businesses right now if I would have never took the risk of quitting my job for working for somebody else.
Money!
To start working for myself. So it's like I took a major risk because I have a family. I quit my job to start focusing on my two jobs because I just got tired of working for somebody else. I have talent so that way I can work for myself. Why not utilize that and work for myself instead of going slave 40, 50, 60 hours for somebody else? I can work in less time and make the same amount of money in less time doing stuff that I love to do. And, you know, you just can't be afraid. You have to get a good support system around you that is going to support you. And basically go from there. But step number one is to get a good support system around you and, you know, get real close with the Most High. You know, that's really the stuff that you have to do. That's the first two steps. Get close with the Most High and get a support system around you. Once you get those two things around you, you'll feel more comfortable to take risks to reach a goal that you want to, no matter what it is. Because if I didn't have my support system around me, I would have never done what I did because it would have made it a whole lot hard. But my transition into doing my goal, it was very easy. And that's thanks to my support system. But you have to change your mindset. You cannot be scared. You got to take a risk.
Yeah, definitely. That's pretty decent advice. Yeah. Number one, you have to have a support system. You gotta have a support system. Well, I'm gonna say number two, you gotta have a support system. And number one, you gotta reach out to a higher power. You gotta believe in a higher power for you to be able to like even push yourself to the point where you can become successful at anything. Other than what Rob already said, I mean, I agree with that 1,000,000%. Other than what he already said, like just understand, like, nothing is going to happen easy. Nothing is going to come easy. No matter how good you are at it, no matter how easy it is to you, great success in that is not going to come overnight. It's not going to come easy. It's not going to come without any real work or any real effort.
I mean,
Shucks, simply, like, simply put, like, you really gotta go super, super fucking far left just so you can be right. Like, you gotta go all the way to the left just so you, like, you gotta jump all the way the fuck out the window. Like, yep. And like Rod was talking about fear earlier, like fear, you know what I'm saying? Respectively, fear is good because it stops you from doing dumb shit. But, you know, fear can hold you back. Like, you need that. You need to have courage to beat that fear because it's going to stop you from doing some dope shit, too. So, I mean, I guess what advice would you give a person who wants to get somewhere, but they are afraid? So, I mean, obviously, you know that you being afraid is a problem. It just is nothing that we can really tell you. You know, surround yourself around like-minded people, surround yourself around, you know, decent individuals, and like believe in yourself, and not only believe in yourself, you know what I'm saying, put faith in something higher, because that is going to get you through. Like, when you don't believe in yourself, you still have something there that's going to propel you and push you forward. I think that's it, Rob. I think that's everything for the week. Everything?
For now,
yeah. For now, I think that's everything. I'm probably gonna have this at the beginning, but by the time that this podcast comes out, by the time that you're hearing this, I will be on Good Girls Bad Thoughts. It's a show out here in Dallas, hosted by a young lady that I met named Wild Style and her co-host. Embo Slice or something like that. They're pretty funny. So we might have them on one day if Rob permits. But I will be on their show. It's live. It's a live show.
We can definitely add them to the show.
Fishbowl Network. Find the website.
Only Toon will try to promote something without all the information.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right. That's me. That's about right. Cause I go off my gut. I catch a feeling, and I go with it. But I'm getting it done.
So, Good Girls Bad Thoughts. All the information will be on my Instagram. On my Instagram and my Twitter and everything like that at Ratchetone. But Tuesday, 9 to 11 p.m. It will be on FBRN, like Fuck Boys Are Niggas. .us and click on the Red Bowl. I will be in the Red Bowl. Pretty cool people there. Like I said, they're pretty funny. So we might have them on one day.
It works for me.
Yeah. You got anything else, Rob?
Nah, I don't have nothing. Just remember, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat at GoDJRobLow. Other than that, that's it. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Yep, and as always, do all the things that your haters can't do with all the people they can't peep at all the places that they can't place themselves. Check out Good Girls Bad Thoughts on the Fishbowl Network. And until next time, that's all, folks.